All right, everybody stand up now that you're seated comfortably. Trying to work this thing. So many gadgets. You wouldn't believe how wired I am. Some of you, you know, having to get used to that. Many years ago, we didn't have wireless. And that my job when I first took the church, turn me down a little bit, I'm booming. When I first took the church over, my job was to hold the line for Randy, who was a pastor then back in the 70s. I had to reel in the cord and reel out the cord. And one time I got distracted. I remember I almost pulled him back over like that. So I thank God for wireless. Amen. That's the best thing since the Bible. Everybody say amen in it. Last week we studied the nasty now and now. And today we're going to study the sweet by and by. Everybody say the sweet by and by. And I think it's a good balance. And so we kind of hit hard last week and all that we need to do here on earth. But you know, sometimes you just got to put your eyes up and realize there is a future in the sweet by and by. And it is coming. And we'll just talk about that. In fact, go back to first. Let's go. It says in Revelation John, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords," and everybody say, "the King of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful." And today I want to talk to you about the King. Everybody say, "the King." Father, we love you today. I ask you, Lord, that you would open up our understanding, open up our eyes, open up our hearts, Lord, that we can grasp truths, Lord, of the future. I ask you, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts. And, Lord, get a joy deep within us, Lord, of what's ahead. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. One of the keys, you know, when you see this Islamic faith and much of what's happening in the suicide bombers, a lot of that stuff is because they've been taught that as soon as they die, they go to paradise. And many of them, you don't know all the story, but they get a lot of wives and lots of good things are happening. And really, it's a perversion of the truth, because when we die, how many know there's good things on the other side? And Zechariah 9:9 says this. It says, "Rejoice greatly." Everybody say, "rejoice greatly." If you don't like noise, don't go to heaven. Because when you read the book of Revelation, it says like peals of thunder. It rocked the place. I mean, when you read the book of Revelation, you just need to get, because sometimes you read it, but you don't get it. And it's like a speed bump. You know, you just kind of bump over it. In heaven, it's going to be loud. So if you need earplugs, take them with you. Ask them to put them in your casket, because it's going to be loud. All right, Zechariah 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." And I want to talk to you today about the king. In Israel, it didn't matter when a king came to power. They always did the coronation of the king in the fall of the year, during the fall festivals. And it's amazing to me, because when you read the New Testament, and when Jesus was crucified, you know, everything lined up with what they called the Feast of Israel. There were three times of the year that they celebrated seven feasts. They grouped them together. They put three at the beginning, they put one by itself, and then they put three in the fall of the year. So one was in the spring. Three of them were in the spring. And then 50 days later, they had the next one was called Pentecost. And then the last three, called the Feast of Trumpets, was in the fall of the year. And I told you in my heart, had I been living in that early day, you know, Jesus fulfilled those first three. Every time there's something was supposed to take place, the Feast of Passover, the unleavened bread, all that took place, it was fulfilled. And then when he rose again from the dead, having fulfilled those three feasts, something happened tremendously biblically on those days of those feasts. He said, "Wait, tarry for the Spirit. God's going to pour it out." And they waited, and the Bible says it happened on the day of Pentecost, which was the middle feast, which was feast number four. The three had been fulfilled through Jesus. Then the fourth one on that day. I mean, can you imagine? Had I been living, I said, "Man, I can't wait till the fall. What's going to happen when the other three happen? What's going to happen then?" And you can imagine, if I'd have been so disappointed, because he went and nothing happened in those fall feasts. But the main thing they kept those fall feasts for was, no matter when a king came to power, they always coronated him at the end of the year. They always did the coronation of the king during the fall festivals. And can I tell you, there is one king that's going to be coronated at the end of time. Come on, somebody. During the fall festivals. And what they're going to bring about is going to be about the coronation of the great king and the enthronement. Today I'm going to talk to you a little about that. But let me just say something so you know it. Jesus already is king, whether you know it or not. 1 Timothy 6 says this, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot or unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Come on, somebody. See, in his time, he already pictured it out. It's going to happen in the fall of the year during the Feast of Tabernacles. Matthew, like we have a president. Many times a president will be elected, but he's president-elect, we call it. But Jesus is a little bit different. He's already got it. Because Matthew 28, after he rose from the dead, he says, he came and spake unto them, saying, all power. And we think of that. Think of it in terms of monarchy. Think of it in terms of presidency. Think of it in terms of kingship. All power is already given me in heaven and in earth. I am already king, all right? It's just not been shown yet. And when he comes back, he will have and celebrate a coronation. But let me just tell you something. He is coming back. And when I grew up, when I first was saved, that was a big topic. Preachers preached on it, and so fervently you felt the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. When you walked out, if you heard a loud noise, you'd look up thinking, is that Jesus coming out from the sky? And there'd be things that would take place. And movies, the Left Behind movies, the songs that were sung. It was about the coming of the Lord. And one of the things it did for you and for me was it purified us. When you expect the Lord to come back at any moment, you live righteously. When you think it might be the knock on the door, it might be, you live right, you clean up better. In fact, look what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him does what? If you think he's coming back tomorrow, if you thought he was coming back this afternoon, if you thought he was going to split the skies before this service was over, you would be pure. You'd be repenting of things right now. I mean, getting them ready. So he says, everybody that's got this purifies him. Look at the next one in Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lust. See, that's what grace. Grace doesn't teach you that you can just get by with stuff, and grace that God will just forgive you, and grace doesn't teach you that you can just live sloppy and God's got agape love and he's okay. Hear me tell you what grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. See, when you look for Jesus coming back, it teaches you, it purifies himself. I don't know about you, but Jasmine ever so often leaves. She's going to leave in a month. At the end of August, she's leaving on her birthday to Cameroon. She's doing a mission trip down with some friends of ours from Scotland. And not from Scotland, from Ireland. And I'm going to tell you, she's going to be gone for how long? 2 weeks. How many know in 2 weeks' time that house is not going to look the same as it did when she left? But the day before she always comes back, I always rent a dozer. Come on, somebody. There is a major cleanup. How many know the sheets never get washed? Who needs to wash? You know why? Because I go back to my, revert back to all the training I had. Leave the bed open. Do not make the bed. It airs out a lot better. Hang your clothes on the post. They air out a lot better than hung up in a closet, all crammed together, smelly. No, you leave them on the floor. You stretch them out over there. You put the pots in the sink and you don't wash them until you cook the same thing again. Come on, somebody. But that day before she comes back, it's like a miracle happens. There's not so much activity in all the world that happens during that last day before she comes back the morning. She walks in and I'm thinking in my brain, if she'd have seen this thing 24 hours before. And when you believe the Lord, can you imagine you've got a phone call? Yes, Lord, you're coming You're coming. I'm leaving this earth today, tomorrow. You know what? Everybody say you purify yourself. The King is coming, and he's coming back. But Jesus wants us always to be our minds thinking that way. This is what he said in Mark 13. He said, but of that day and that hour, nobody knows. No, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son. But wouldn't it be good to know? My pastor before me used to tell me about, you know, if God told you where that line was between lost and when you backslide so far, you become lost or you stay saved, he said everybody would be right near that line. Remember the story of the little boy that kept falling out of bed? Mom would go pick him. Pow! He'd hear a van. Why? Go in and put Junior back in bed. And finally, one night went by where Junior never fell out of bed. And Mom said, well, what happened? I learned I was sleeping too close to the edge. You don't want to backslide? Get away from the edge. Thank you, Pastor. Of that day, that hour, nobody knows. You don't know where the line is. No, the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, therefore, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, left his house, gave authority to his servants. Every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch. Everybody say watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say to everybody at Victory Harvest Church, watch! Everybody say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Waiting for the coming of the Lord. They had a byword they used to use among Christians in the early century. It was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And then this last word is maranatha. And that was a word that they used quite often. It was a greeting word they would use. And the word literally means our Lord comes. And they would greet each other with that phrase, our Lord comes. And it was kind of like they were looking, because when you read Paul's writings and you read the other apostles, and they were all expecting the Lord to come back in their lifetime. They were expecting the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And they all expected it. But that is the right way to live, expecting the Lord to come back in your lifetime. Because even if he does not, most of you are going to meet him within the next 30 years. I may have 40, but y'all got 30 years. Everybody say Maranatha. It's a Maranatha mentality. That is always looking for the coming of the Lord. Revelation 22 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man. Now, that we're going to look at that in just a second. You don't just read that and say, oh, we have to. He has got a reward that he is going to give every person in here. He has a reward, and it won't be the same to every person. Every person will receive differently according to your work. Every person will receive according to your work. Not the amount, but according to whatever ability God has given you. I have seen people that have no ability, and yet they're pouring their lives out doing something. I've watched Jasmine. I know how many years she played guitar. She knows 3 chords. Come on, somebody. And she played 3 chords on a guitar for 20-some years with kids. Well, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Just pouring her talent out. Some of you, you know. So behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Give every man according to, as his work shall be. He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Everybody say that with me. Say, even so come, Lord Jesus. And when he's coming back, when he comes back, there's a lot that's going to take place. And we, you know, you've heard all that. But let me zero in on this one thing. When he comes back, one of the big things going to happen when he comes back, there is going to be a coronation. If you've ever watched any of the coronations of the British monarch, or maybe other monarchs around the world, or maybe even the presidency of our presidency when it comes in and goes out, you remember one of the biggest transitions was the years from Carter to Reagan. You remember that? You remember when you watch on TV and Carter would be there with a sweater on. He had turned the thermostat in the White House down to whatever, and yet he was sitting by a fire, and they showed that. And so he was trying to get us all to conserve and be. And then Reagan came in. You remember Reagan? They had fanfare. They had this, that, that. I mean, it was just like from night to day in terms of how life was perceived or how life was lived. And when Jesus comes back, I'm going to tell you, there is not going to be any expense to pay. Oh, I just told you, we were at a wedding. Jasmine was at a wedding. They wanted me to be a part of it, but I'd already been there, so I couldn't. But they spent over $200,000 on a wedding. Come on, somebody. It was at the Carl at the Ritz Carlton, the Ritz Carlton down in San Miguel or whatever, down near where Kobe Bryant lived and all that group lived down there. And they had fireworks going on during the wedding, and da 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 da. It was something. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Come on, somebody. Because there is going to come a coronation. There is going to come a coronation of a king one day. And listen, there ain't going to be a bad seat in the house. Listen, we're going to see the enthronement ceremony is going to take place when the king comes back. He's already king. He's already been given all authority in heaven and earth, regal authority. But he's not been enthroned yet. He says in his own times, Paul said, he will show who is the only potentate. In his own times, it'll be brought to pass. And when he comes back, every king, every Jewish king in Israel, they were always coronated during the fall festivals. For the Bible says the trumpet of God shall sound. Come on, somebody. The heavens are going to split and Jesus himself is going to come back. That's the beginning of the fall festivals. And when he comes back, there's going to be a coronation like you've never seen a coronation. How many of you were alive when Queen Elizabeth was coronated? And how many of you? Just a few of you? There's a few of you. That was one of the most prestigious. I mean, when you saw the marriage of Princess Di and the other fellow, I forgot what his name was. But you remember that story. And you saw how regal all that was. And I'll probably get sued by the British Parliament. But there were four parts. There were four parts to any coronation. When a Jewish king came to the fall of the year and they did the coronation, then there was always four parts to the coronation when he was being shown and being coronated. And let me just give these to you, and I think you're going to really enjoy these because, listen, you're going to see this one day. You're going to be there on the ringside seat. There's going to be like some theaters you can be in where there's not a bad seat in the house. There's not going to be a bad seat in the house. I don't think you'll be sitting back there trying to look over somebody's shoulder and try to see. Can you bend down? No, 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 no. I don't know how he's going to do it, but there's not going to be a bad seat in the house. He's a great architect. Anybody who's been planning this thing for over 2,000 years, he's got it down pat. And so the first thing is this, is the giving of the decree and the scepter. This is one of the things. This is how Jewish kings were coronated. And I know it's a picture of what's going to happen today. The giving of the decree and the scepter was a declaration, and you can see this in Psalm. Look what Psalm says. Let me just give you some. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord that said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. There's going to come a decree. Listen, when we're there that day, and Jesus is going to be, we're not just going to appear and think, now he's king. Okay, now he's. No, no, there's going to be a ceremony. There's going to be a coronation. The Son of the Living God is going to be coronated King of the universe. And the first thing that's going to happen is God the Father is going to decree, this is my beloved Son. And I have set him as king upon the mountains. Come on, somebody. And he does a decree. And then next week, Psalm says, thy throne, O God. The Father is going to call the Son God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. Come on, somebody say, isn't that great? I mean, it's going to happen. Hebrews chapter 1, he says, but under the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. These decrees are going to be said that day. There's going to come a booming voice. You're going to be in the crowd. I'll be in the crowd listening to this. When he's coronated as king of the universe. I love what he said in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, it's the story of Jacob when he calls all of his sons together. And he says, gather yourselves together. And I may tell you that which you shall befall you in the last days. And when he comes to the tribe of Judah, of which Jesus sprang forth, of which he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, he said this, Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down and he crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. The word Shiloh literally means to whom it belongs, to whom it is, for whom it was reserved. And then listen, there he is still the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the scepter is still reserved for him. And that day when we're standing in heaven and God the Father hands the Son the scepter of the universe. Come on, isn't that great? He is coming. Number two, the second thing was the taking of the throne. The ceremony of the taking of the throne. When they would do this, the kings would be there, and then they would begin to mount, after they'd been given the scepter, they'd begin to mount the steps up toward the throne, and then they would sit upon the throne. And watch these. I love this. Look at this. Luke chapter, chapter 1. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He was prophesied this by the angel Gabriel to little Mary. I love in the book of Daniel, watch this. I beheld, Daniel sees a vision, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands. It's me and that's you. Ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before. We are going to be there. Daniel saw it centuries ago. You and I standing before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. It's the coronation. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap on. Isn't that great? It's going to happen. We're going to see that. There's a coronation going to take place. The book of Revelation describes it this way. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, were able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Everybody say, weep not. For behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And beheld, I lo, in the midst of the throne and on the four beasts and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders, 20 elders, fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Listen, that is us. They sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. And he opened the seals thereof. Thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made unto us God, our God, kings and priests. And we shall reign on earth. And everybody said amen one more time. You know what that thing is? That was the title deed of earth. And then the third one is the acclamation. During the time, he's given the throne, he's given his scepter, but then there is an acclamation, and that is when, listen, whenever a king was enthroned on a throne, all the people began to shout, long live the king! Can you imagine in that day shouting as strong as you can shout, and your voice won't get hoarse like mine? You have a new vocal cords in that day. First King said this, then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle, and he anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. If you've never been in a LSU football stadium, like you're going to be here. You may have heard it on the Richter scale when we beat Auburn that time. You have never felt the ground rent before you. And on that day, you're going to be moving in a shake. Come on, somebody. It's going to be a great time. It says, save the king. Look at the next verse. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible and a great king over all the earth. Oh, I can't wait. Look at the next one. For God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Go to the next one. Behold, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, this is the coronation day. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, listen, every creature, all the worms are going to praise God. All the mosquitoes are going to praise God. Come on. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, I mean, every fish is going to come up to the top of the water and begin to worship. And all that are in them heard this, like blessing and honor and glory. It's going to be a coronation like you've never heard a coronation. There's going to be, everything is going to be worshiped. Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Come on. And every creature in heaven, everything that sits upon the throne, God is going to. And then the last one this morning is in this, listen, what they did in that day was, after the king was enthroned, after he'd received the scepter, after he sat down, after the acclamations had come forth, then every tribe, every family would come and appear before the king in order. And listen to this, when he is enthroned, each of us is going to be brought before the king. Every one of us is going to be brought before the king. And then in that day, what they would do is, he would hand out rewards to those that had followed him. The king that was, he would hand out rewards to those that had followed him. He would hand out rewards. He would then give them their job titles. Some of them would be rulers. Some of them would be all things. And watch this. One of the things is, in 1 Samuel chapter 5, you'll see it. It says, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders came to the king in Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Go to the next one. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world. That's going to happen at the coronation. It's going to happen openly at the coronation. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. We're going to be there to behold his glory. All of you that watch The Lord of the Rings, you know that Strider was just a nobody, dirty old ranger until the day he was coronated. And Jesus was just a lowly carpenter from Nazareth. But listen, first time he came as resident, the second time he's coming as president. Come on, somebody. And so, Father, I pray that all those at Victory Harvest Church that you've given me would be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Notice this next one. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes in that day, to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at. Come on, somebody. To be marveled at. To be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was. Listen, you're going to marvel in that day. Your tongue, somebody's going to say, put your tongue back in your mouth. You're going to be marveling in that day. You're going to be I'm going to say, I cannot describe what is going to take place. You're going to marvel in that day. And one of the things that the kings did in that day was they handed out rewards. When they came before them, they handed out rewards. And Jesus told the disciples, one day you're going to reign on 12 thrones and you're going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to do it. You're going to have your own thrones. And one of the things they used to do, the kings, is they gave out crowns. They would give out crowns in that day. And I want to give you five crowns in ending this morning real quickly. Just snap, 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 snap. Five crowns. It's going to be at least five of the crowns that's going to be given out. The first crown, listen, is a soul winner's crown. This is what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. Soul winner's crown. No, go back. We got a scripture here. Go back. It says, 1 Thessalonians, what is our hope or joy or crown? Everybody say crown. Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus? Let me tell you, one of the biggest crowns that will be given out in that day is all of you that have labored in the mission field. All of you that labored in the harvest field. I didn't say how many people. I'm not talking about how many people you won to the Lord. That's not how God's going to count it. The Bible says one sows, one waters, and another reaps. It's your laboring in the mission field. And Paul said, I'm going to tell you about a crown of rejoicing. I got my crown of rejoicing. My crown now is going to be, is you. Isn't it even you in the presence of the Lord? One thing that will make heaven two heavens for you is when you see those that you witness to in heaven themselves. The worst thing in life is to go to heaven by yourself. You got to take as many people with you as you can. A lot of people have drug a lot of people down to hell. You got to take as many people with you as you can to heaven. And so one of the biggest crowns is the soul winner's crown. The second one is the crown of denial. The crown of denial. Look at this. Self-denial. It says, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate. That means he's got self-control. In all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. Listen, every one of you that have laid your life down, that have sacrificed, that have given, I'm going to tell you there, I'll do this later in life. I feel my heart, the more, listen, I want to be a giver to the day I die. I want to learn my life. Listen, the Bible says, you that laid down stuff, you lay it down on earth, but you lay it up in heaven. One of the, Jesus said, the best way is lay up treasures in heaven. I don't know how many of you are laying up treasures, but listen, self-denial, dealing with yourself. Say, well, it doesn't benefit me. I mean, there's going to be a crown one day given out for self-denial. Third one is the crown of righteousness. I love this one. Watch this one. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on, what day is that? The coronation day. The coronation day. When he's coronated king. Paul said there's going to come a day when he's going to give me the crown of righteousness. He's going to put that crown upon my head. He's going to give me the crown of righteousness. And then the crown of life. I love this one. The crown of life. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown. Everybody say the crown. The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. And then the last one is the crown of the under-shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Every one of you that's taking care, every one of you that's leading a small group, you're not doing it for a crown, but you're going to get one for what you're doing. Every one of you that's willing to do that, because you know how it is. Because some, and even those of you that tried some groups and they didn't pan out, doesn't matter. It's you were willing. And when you do that, listen, you receive. But when you lay your life down for the sheep, God said, Paul said, listen, when the chief shepherd appeared, Peter said, when the chief shepherd appeared, you shall receive a crown, a crown. Come on, somebody, say amen. You know, I love this. I want to play this. This is my favorite little clip of S.M. Lockridge, but you heard it, but I'm going to play it again because I love it. And it's S.M. Lockridge Dr. S.M. Lockridge was a great preacher of the gospel. He's in heaven now, enjoying himself. I can just see him walking down the streets of glory. But he did this one, says, "That's my king." And that's one of my favorite little things. It's just a few minutes long. We're going to enjoy it together one more time. Go ahead and play it one more time this morning. That's my king.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David said the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He starves and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's a head of the heroes. He's a leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
Can everybody stand up today? Come on, let's give a great clap offering one more time. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Jesus. We can't wait till that day we see you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We love you. And Lord, we want to take everybody in this place with us today. We want everybody to go. And maybe, oh, would you close your eyes? Maybe you don't know if you'd be there or not today. But today is your day to say, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to know this King of Kings. I want to know him. And really, he's indescribable. I cannot tell you. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you. If you'd been the only person living just for you. And he made it so simple. But it cost so much. It cost Jesus everything. And he's got to be willing because he said, count the cost before you make this commitment. Because he said he wants everything. He wants your whole life. But the key is, you cannot do it on your own. When he comes in, he does it. The Spirit of God helps you. There's a helper that comes in and helps you live this life. I could never do it on my own, but I can do it with his strength. When Jesus came in, I knew that somebody came into my life. And there was a part, I don't know how to explain it. He just came into my life. And he lives in me. He lives in my spirit. There's a part of you called your spirit that's dead right now. But if you're willing and you want him, he will come in and his spirit will come with your spirit and you will come alive. The inner man will come alive. And so this morning, all you have to do is say, I want it. I say, Lord, I want it. I'm willing. I count the cost. I'll turn it all over. Lord, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I need you to save me. And all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so this morning, I want you, if you want to do that, we're going to all pray with you together. I'll pray, then everybody's going to pray. And you pray this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, today I surrender my life. I have tried before, but I could not live it. So today I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying on a cross and paying for my sins. Change me, Lord. I surrender all. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering. They come on. All right. Turn around. Give somebody a good high five if you would. Hey, do this. If you got saved today and you want a prayer, I'm going to be up here with some of my leaders. If you want prayer for anything else, if you got a prayer request, a need today, we're going to be hanging around the altars a little while. You come on up. We're just going to make it easy. Come on up and pray. We'll do it. Otherwise, just greet each other, love each other in Jesus.